This podcast is brought to you by XMWX Satellite Weather.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from ALP Expo in San Jose. I'm with Jim Alpizer of Garmin. Thanks for being with us, Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
We wanted to do a follow-up on the 696. We've had a video on the site now for about 4 days. So one of the questions I had, and several readers have asked me about this, do you consider this an EFB or not an EFB?
Well, the 696 and 695 are products that have EFB capabilities. That's how we really reference and refer to the product. The primary function that it adds is its ability to be able to view and reference NACO electronic approach charts, in addition to showing you airway information, both the Jet Airways and the Victor Airways.
Now, the decision was made because of the processor, I assume, to display charts that are actually scans of the NACO PDFs. Is that correct?
Well, the reality is that our ability to quickly and efficiently bring this product to market, that was really our easiest path to get there, was to take the existing NACO data, get that referenced in there in an electronic format that was quick and easy to show. And as you can see, as you use the product, you can see the full chart in pretty good clarity and then be able to zoom in to reference more specific parts of the chart if you're not able to, if you want to have those bigger and bolder on the display.
Let's talk a little bit about geo-referencing. The device does not geo-reference on the plate, although it does geo-reference on the electronic charts, the high-altitude and low-altitude charts. And why is that?
Well, the process of geo-referencing basically has to do with the data set that it's coming from. And right now, the NACO data is not to scale, per se. And so that's why you do not see an airplane symbol appear on the chart. It's not that we couldn't necessarily geo-reference it. However, there would be a number of approaches that would not be to scale, and then your position that you see yourself on the chart would not necessarily be accurate. So we basically said we don't want to go that direction at this juncture until the information becomes available in a means that we can accurately depict it. Now, there is another potential opportunity for geo-referencing. Obviously, we've got products that have ChartView, which is using data coming from Jeppesen, but along with that comes additional cost and development time.
So there was a cost factor involved here as well as
cost factor,
as technical factor.
Cost factor was really the primary driver for the decision to just use the NACO data right now. We certainly haven't ruled out the possibility of doing that, the Jeppesens, but at the same time we're not making any firm commitments to the industry just at this juncture.
Also, the chart function, the approach plate function, disables after 180 days of expiration of the current NACO cycle, and what was the thinking behind that?
Well, the reality is that the NACO data becomes available every 28 days for customers to get the most recent and up-to-date information, and from a liability perspective, we felt it was grossly in error if folks were flying around with charts that were over 6 months old. So at that juncture, we went ahead and said if a customer hasn't been continuously updating it and is using this product for IFR use, they really need to be updating this on a 28-day basis as opposed to letting the charts go obsolete and being able to. We wouldn't want to have somebody referencing a significantly out-of-date chart.
However, you do offer the choice of a one-time update for, I think, $95 and a continuous 28-day update for $395. Is that correct?
That's correct. We do offer reasonably priced updates for flight charts, and the prices you quoted there, one-time update is $95, or the 13-cycle update is $395. And we also, when you buy the unit, if the unit happened to be sitting on our shelves for a considerable amount of time, or even a dealer shelf for a considerable amount of time, it's possible that the unit would not necessarily have charts in it the very first time you turn it on. But we do give a certificate in the box that allows one update of the database in order to refresh those. So from the day that you get the box, you can immediately have an up-to-date and fresh database for that.
And how is the revision delivered?
The revision is delivered through Garmin's new flygarmin.com website, and it's a much simpler, streamlined process of doing database updates where you go out there, basically plug in your unit. The website will automatically sense what unit you have plugged into it, and it's from there, it's just three simple button clicks away from being able to download that data into the unit itself.
Last question. We've been doing some testing of Garmin's ground navigators, all of which have touchscreen now. No touchscreen in this, so why not?
Right. Well, the decision to not go with touchscreen, really, this is kind of a crossover product for us between our Panamount products and our portable products, and we certainly have made some significant improvements in the operational characteristics of the 696, but at the same time, we wanted to retain the core functions and operations that have made us successful in both the portable and the Panamount product lines. So that was really our best opportunity to come out with a product that we can use as a next-generation portable product. And then also, as you can see, the form factor of this product is very similar to what's being offered in the Cessna Skycatcher. And so there are certain crossovers there that seemed mutually beneficial. I will, just as an interesting aside, say that the hardware that's in the Cessna Skycatcher for G300, it is different hardware than we have in this 696. So there are differentiations between those two. But as you can see, as you look at them side by side, there are a lot of similarities as well.
Will the G300 have more capability or similar?
Actually, the G300 will have more capability.
And when that'll be available, when the Skycatcher is ready to ship?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for speaking with us, Jim.
I appreciate it. I appreciate all the time. And, get them while they're hot. We've had tremendous orders coming in for the product since it was first introduced last week. And we're here at AOPA right now, and the booth is jam-packed full of people looking to get a glimpse at it. And the response has been tremendous, and we're running as fast as we can to keep up with demand. So hopefully we won't have any kind of a shortage in the holiday season. But right now we are in a slight backorder situation.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AOPA Expo 2008, San Jose, California. We've been speaking with Jim Alpizer of Garmin. Thanks for listening.
XMWX satellite weather has quickly become the leading way to fly for pilots across the country. And now, with updates to the Aviator Data Package and Aviator Pro, the brand new weather data package from XMWX, pilots have an even better reason to fly with the Datalink weather leader in flight and every flight.